Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well. Hello, everyone out there. This is Praise Tabernacle Bible Study tonight. It's our usual weekly Bible study night. And we have a great speaker for you tonight. I'm your host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor, on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and Lady Zachary. We bring you greetings in Jesus' name and welcome everyone that's listening all over the land, all over the world, over in England and Germany, Bahamas, all over the United States, and all of our Praise Tabernacle listeners tonight. We welcome you and we greet you in the name of Jesus. And we just want to thank you all that's tuned in tonight. We have our usual panel is on tonight, where we have Elder Derek Oliver and Elder Victor Blouette, Evangelist Ricky Blouette, and our great speaker tonight, Evangelist Dove Stanton. She will be our speaker tonight. And we just want you to just tune in and listen. Hopefully everyone will get a nugget out of the word tonight. And we just enjoy yourself and get something from the word, because it's a great word, dynamic speaker. And like I always say, I can listen to her speak all the time because she just got that relaxing kind of voice that just pulls you in and just makes you want to pay attention. So just enjoy the word tonight. And again, we just thank everybody. We thank Elder Oliver for all that he does with KF Blog Talk Radio and what he's doing in conjunction with Praise Tabernacle Church. And we just want to just encourage everybody to be encouraged, to stay encouraged as we continue the process where what's going on in our individual lives and our daily walk with the Lord. And we're going to say a quick prayer, and then Evangelist Doug, we're going to turn it right over to you right at the end of this prayer. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your name tonight, Lord God. We pray that your word will have free course, Lord God, that it touch the hearts and the minds of the people that are listening, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, Lord God, they may receive something from you, Lord God, and that you can touch them, Lord God, mind, body, and soul, Lord God, that you can touch their spirit man as well as the natural man, Lord God, that they will receive whatever they need from you tonight, Lord God. And we thank you, we give you honor, we give you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Evangelist Dove Stanton is in your hands.
Thank you, Elder. I appreciate you, sir. Good evening, everyone. We are so excited that you joined us on tonight for this Tuesday night Bible study. If you would please get your Bible and your paper and your pencil. We want to give some scriptures on tonight, and I want you to go back and study those scriptures. Don't just take my word for it. don't just take the panel's word for it, but go back and study for yourself to see what God has to say. Tonight we are coming from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Now, I am going to read these verses, but I'm not going to go line by line on these verses. I pulled out of these verses three items I want to bring to your attention. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I love to read the scripture, so I'm going to read it first. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." We thank God for the word on tonight. So I kind of want to give you the college cliff notes on what I just read. We see where Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was hungry. And then we see where the tempter came to him and began to tempt him with bread, tempt him with the holy city, the temple, and saying, if he is the Son of God. He also tempted him actually to take his own life by casting himself down and then saying that the angels, you know, would get him. But Jesus came back with a "it is written" in his mouth. And when I was reading these and studying this, there were three things that I pulled out of this that I really want to talk about tonight. Thing that I want to talk about is you can't bargain with sin because sin is never satisfied. Let me say that again. You can't bargain with sin because sin is never satisfied.
Oh, I got to use it.
See,
I like that.
I saw that when I was reading the scriptures, how the enemy came at Jesus But I also noticed how Jesus came at the enemy. He didn't bargain with the enemy. You know, there's some things that people have in their lives and they feel like, oh, it's no big deal. I'm not hurting anybody by doing it. They say, you know, it's no big deal because it's only affecting me. Well, I wanted to give you an example. I decided to use gluttony. Now, gluttony is characterized by a limitless appetite for food and drink and overindulgence to the point where one is no longer eating to live, but rather living to eat. Now, if you are bothered with gluttony, you may say you're only hurting yourself. Now, some of the things that you could be hurting yourself with is being overweight because of gluttony, diabetes. It makes you tired when you're overweight, sluggish, your joints hurt and ache, your clothes feel tight, you feel diseased. It can cause a host of other problems. And even though it seems like it's only affecting you, it's not. Because when you have all these things going on, how do you think it affects your family? How do you think it affects your job? How do you think it affects your relationship if you're married? I mean, you know, okay, it's only gluttony. No, it's affecting your life. So therefore, it's affecting the people around you. And one thing I was reading and I was thinking of, as Christians, it's our responsibility to kill every sin that lives in us by mortifying the flesh. And this includes gluttony and other sins. But right now I'm talking about gluttony because, you know, somebody may be saying, it's only affecting me, it's only hurting me. No, it's not. And so sometimes you kind of compromise with yourself. You tell yourself, well, I'm going to start on Monday. I'm going to start my diet on Monday. I'm going to start eating better on Monday because, you know, right now it's the weekend and I need to get it in first. I need to get that last good meal in first. I'm not going to lie. I've said that before. I'm going to wait, you know, to start on Monday because the weekend is coming up. So, you know, I want to get that big meal in first. The idea is that you will have more willpower to quit if you satisfy that current urge. Did you hear what I just said? The idea in your head is, but today I just want to satisfy that current urge. You cannot bargain with sin because sin never satisfies. And we don't see Jesus in this scripture where he says to the devil, okay, give me a little piece of bread and it'll be okay. I won't be as hungry anymore and I'll start on Monday. We don't see that in the scripture. Give me a little drink, it'll be okay. And then on Monday, I'll start to be better on Monday. You can't bargain with sin. You can't bargain with
sin. Amen.
Amen.
Just have anything to say? I'm still working with this, but does anybody in the panel have anything they would like to say?
Well, I'm glad you use food as sin because we as Christians like to overlook it. And that's our most deadliest sin. And a lot of us going to go to hell for overeating, for gluttony. And we love pointing fingers at the homosexual and the drunk and the, you know, drugs, but we don't. You very seldom hear gluttony because we are guilty as Christians. Because what's the first thing we do after church? We all go to the buffet and get all we can eat, and then we steal all the cookies. Okay,
right.
I'm just being real.
You said steal the cookies.
And steal the cookies,
yeah.
Put them in your purse. Your husband handing you paper towel. I'm not saying that my husband, he don't even go to buffets, but I'm just saying as Christian, this
right.
is what we do.
Exactly. We're supposed to eat to live, but we live to eat with gluttony. We think about all the foods that we want to consume. We think about whatever it is that we want to drink to go with it. We think about when we get in our cars, that's the first thing we want to do with gluttony. Now, you can apply this to all sins, but I'm using gluttony because I've experienced this myself. You know, we're living instead of taking the word of God and eating the word of God. Jesus says in the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So food is not going to sustain you.
That's right.
Food's not going to keep you in peace. Food is not going to give you the fullness of joy. Food is supposed to be there for us to use to feed our bodies. But when we begin to overindulge, it doesn't stop right there. It doesn't come by itself. There's multiple things that's going on when we enter into that sin. You know, that self-gratification, it feels good. And like I said, we tell ourselves, oh, I'm going to start on Monday. I've said that before. I'm going to start on Monday because I'm thinking about, you know, all the stuff I want to eat. Now, what if I eat myself to the point that I don't ever get to Monday?
Mm-hmm.
You can't bargain with sin. I said, as Christians, it's our responsibility to kill every sin that lives in us by mortifying the flesh, Romans 8 and 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You have got to kill it. We can't determine, and I wrote this, we can't determine which sins are small or large. You know, you've heard it. I just told a little white lie. If every sin is sin, and every sin is an enmity against God, then there is no sin that is less evil than any other sin. Jesus died for all types of sins, large, medium, and small. There's just no little white lie. That's that bargaining we try to do with sin.
Yep.
Oh, I'm little white lie. There's no little white lie. A lie is a lie.
That's right.
You can't bargain with it. There's no size. Oh, yeah, you know, I could do a large sin, or today I'm going to do a small sin. It's just a little bit. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, I'll have more will if I satisfy the current urge on Monday, because we all know how that works. I wrote, sin won't a short term contract. Sin won't accept a short-term contract. it won't agree to take only so much of your house. The more of your house it's allowed to consume, the more it will take. The more it's indulged, the stronger it becomes. This is the great part of sin, deceitfulness. It won't agree to a short-term contract. Does anybody have anything to write this?
You said that sometimes people say it's only hurting myself. But if you have kids, you're hurting your kids also. Not by teaching them bad habits, but shortening your life.
Right.
And taking different medications now because you're trying to live. Now you have to take medications to live.
Right. Right. It affects other people around you. Not only does it affect you, it does affect other people around you. Because when sin comes, like I said, it doesn't come by itself. That's why I was saying, yes, it may be gluttony, but other things are with it. So those spirits, those demonic forces are also with it, because you're at your seas, your body is aching, you're sluggish, so that affects your attitude, because you're hurting. That affects, if you get diabetes, like you said, now you got to take medicine, and it affects everybody around you, because now with diabetes, you don't want to have all the junk in the house. So, you don't want all that stuff around you. You're cranky. It affects everything around you. It affects your job performance. It affects how slow you get up, how you move. Being overweight is not an easy thing. We should all strive to do better. Not that you have to be a certain number, but to be healthy and to be conscious of what you're doing, say to yourself, is my focus all on food? Is my focus all on that thing, whatever that thing is? And like I said in the beginning, this applies not only to gluttony, but this covers everything. Where is your focus? But I'm just using gluttony because, like Evangelist said, a lot of people don't talk about it a lot, but it's a very real thing. It's very real because we have to eat every day. We have to eat. And I know for me, and I'm being transparent, I battle sometimes with that, thinking about what I want to eat more than thinking about the Word of God. And then I have to renew my mind and say, God, let me keep my thoughts upon you. Because even the Bible says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. God is going to supply that. God is going to supply that. Our second thing that I pulled out of this is, what does it mean to bring the flesh under subjection? Because I was looking at this, and I saw how Jesus brought his flesh under subjection with the Word of God, because he had it is written in his mouth. He didn't give in to that flesh. I use 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If your body never wanted to do what's wrong, Paul would not have had to say, I keep my body under control. You don't have to keep something under control that doesn't have a tendency to to get out of control. What happens if you continually give into the flesh rather than walking according to the Spirit? The Bible says you will cause decay and death to come into your life. What does it mean to bring the body into subjection? Galatians 6 and 8. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But
yep.
He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Your problems would be with your body and your unrenewed mind, because your body always wants to fulfill the desires of the flesh. But we have the victory. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. And with victory, our inward man must control our outward man. How do you keep your body disciplined and under control of the Spirit? The best way to get any part of your body under control is to find out what the Word says on the subject. Once you discover that, be a doer of the Word. Listen to what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do and make your body obey its leading. And we do that through reading the Word, studying the Word, praying, meditating on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone want to say before I finish off this one? Does anyone have anything to say?
When I find myself in difficult situations, I just try to remember 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Let me know that is nothing. God has been tempted. I mean, he gave us a way to escape. He gave us a way to look for the exit sign. A lot of us don't look for the exit sign. Okay, if you see yourself in a situation that you don't want to be in, you don't have to be there if you don't want to. A lot of us want to be there. You know, if you didn't, you wouldn't. Why are you doing it? And a lot of times we fall into these bad habits because we don't look for the exercise. Therefore, no temptation turn to it. There have been no temptation taken unto you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able.
That's right.
But we are tempted. The temptation is going to be there.
Right.
He also make a way escape.
That's right.
That ye may be able to bear it.
Right.
He left no excuse for us to be wallowing in sin, whether it be gluttony, whether it be smoking, drinking, fornication, adultery, whatever. He gave us a way to escape. He will always give us a way to escape. Look for the exit sign.
I like that. Look for the exercise. And that's so true, evangelist. We can't sit there and entertain it. Like you said, you've got to get up, escape. Get up, escape. Look for the exit sign. Say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. And you've got to be a doer of that. You got to get up and say, I'm not going to do this, and change the atmosphere. Go for a walk. Get outside. Call somebody. Put on praise and worship music. You have got to do this. And number three, and the last one, you're really going to see why. Galatians 5, 16 through 17. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that he would. You can't just do anything that you want to do and call yourself. See, this is just hitting. When I'm out and about, and when I see people who say that they love the Lord, it just really makes me examine, what do I look like saying that I love the Lord? And I'm like, God, these are real things. And I believe there will be real judgment before God. So I have to give an account for myself, and I encourage everybody to do a self-examination of what your life looks like, because God can see everything that you do, even though you think you try to hide it. God sees it and knows it. And we've had so much death lately at my job. We've had a couple people to die at my job. And I think about the people, and thanks be unto God, I know that both of them love the Lord. But it just reminds me how short and swift life is. And the thing about it is, will you be ready? Will you be ready to stand before God?
Amen.
Amen.
Or are you saying, on Monday, I'm going to get it together? But what if you don't make it to Monday? Will you be ready to stand before God? I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. Will you be ready to stand before God? Your body should not dictate to you what you will do. You should dictate to your body what it will do. Marie, that's in. Your body should not dictate to you what you will do. You should dictate to your body what it will do. You are the only one who can discipline your body and bring it under the control of your spirit life. If you don't, you will decrease your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Our flesh cannot fight a spiritual war. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to add something, Evangelist. Is that we can't fight the enemy in our flesh, and the only way we can get past sin is make our flesh come subject to the Holy Spirit, and because we just can't do it by ourselves, just mentally, just think that, you know, and some things you might be able to do that you can overcome easily. You know, but there's those deep-rooted sins, you know, and some of those sins may be something that don't nobody know about but you, and so those things have to come out, you know, with fasting and prayer. You know, so, you know, gluttony may be something may not be much of an issue for somebody, but then it may be a bigger issue for someone else. You know, and so you just can't will your flesh to stop, because, like you said, See, sin is never satisfied. And I love what you said about that. It's never satisfied because until it destroys you, your flesh, and sends your soul and makes your soul spend eternity in hell, that's even in hell, I don't believe it's satisfied. You know, because it's a reoccurring thing. It's a reoccurring thing with sin. It's always around. It's always paying attention. It's always going to see what you up to. So, you know, in order to combat it, you know, we have to have the presence of God in our life and use prayer and use fasting. You know, and because sin, there's no degrees in sin. There's no little sin and greater sin. I've never seen a sin barometer that, you know, where there's okay. If you're on this side, you're not so bad. But if you're on this side, you know, these are the more bad, worse sins. These sins mean, you know, you're really going to go to hell with these sins. But these sins here, you know, maybe not so much. No, that sin barometer don't exist. So
right.
People that believe that you know, I just told this little white lie, or that was just, you know, that's why we have to ask God to forgive us for sin of omission and sin of commission. You know, sins that we know about, sins that we don't know about. You know, that we have to ask Him to forgive us. So, you know, this is good, you know, because, you know, I ask the Lord to forgive me every day for sins that I know about, sins that I don't know about, sins that I may commit later on in the day in advance. You know, I just try to cover everything. You know, and that's what we got to be. You know, I think that's what we have to be in terms of how we fight sin and ask the Holy Ghost to give us the strength and the power to fight that. Because some sins you can overcome in your flesh, but most of them it's going to be a battle that most times we will fail, because your flesh, our flesh, my flesh, everybody's flesh likes sin.
Right.
Like the scripture says we was born in sin.
Right.
Shaped into iniquity.
That's right.
You know. So. All right. That's it. That's all I got.
Evangelist, did you have something to say?
Yeah, you were talking about pulling down strongholds. We can't pull down something that we won't admit that we have a problem with. All those things out. If you struggle with a certain thing, admit that you're struggling with it. You don't have to admit it to nobody. Just pronounce it. Put it out there. Put it and let and give no room to the enemy with it. Okay, and your last verse, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto, and the angels are not going to minister unto you until you say, as Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to do this no more. I'm no longer participate. I don't love sin. I don't even like sin. Period. We have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't even want him behind me. I want him under my feet. I don't even want him near me. Get away from me, period. Then the angels came to minister. The angels came minister to you if you don't admit and confess that you have a problem. To yourself. Start pulling them down. Every time you the temptation is coming your way, when you're tempted, it's not just going to creep up on you.
Right.
We can see sin afar off. It don't just creep up on you. If you know sin is in your home, stop saying it. If you know it's in your home, get it out of your home. You know you have to go there and sleep. Get it out. If it's in your car, get it out. We're welcoming sin in because we won't get rid of it. We hold on just in case.
Right.
Get it out.
That was good. Holding on.
Get the Twinkies out your house. Get them out. Get the chips out your house. Because you know, good dog or what, you're not just going to eat one ding dong. Just get it out. Get the sin out. Stop making it available.
Leave them ho-hos alone.
That brings me to James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. See, that's because you want to because it's so good to the flesh. You want to because it's so good to the flesh. Like she was just saying, because you want to do it. See, I'm talking to everybody on tonight, whether you church or not.
Yep.
Because it's good to the flesh. You're drawn away. Drawn away from what? Drawn away from the word. Because if you draw nigh to God and if you resist the devil, right, exactly, Elder, he'll draw nigh to you. But when you're drawn away, then you don't study your word. You're not reading your word. You're not meditating on the word of God. You're not praying. You're not running to Christ. You're turning your back on him to fulfill the desires of your flesh. When you tempt it, you're drawn away of your own lust. Because in your head, you know what it feels like, so you want to fulfill that thing that's in your head because you haven't renewed your mind. That's why you allow it to sit and saturate there in your thoughts and in your mind. And then those demonic forces begin to allow you to experience it without you experiencing it so that you can go and experience it. Because now those demonic forces are around you. And like she said, the angels can't come and minister to you because you haven't denounced it, so that the demons have to flee and leave. You haven't pled the blood of Jesus over your mind and over your thoughts. You haven't meditated on the word of God, so you don't have the word to fight the enemy off with. So now you're fully engulfed in it. And that brings me to my third point. My third point is embarrass sin, or sin will embarrass you. Embarrass or sin will embarrass you. People don't fall.
That is so good.
People don't fall in sin overnight. They go down a path for a long time. It starts in seed form and as a desire, and as desires and temptations are given into, the seed grows into an actual plant in the thought life. You give it water, you give it food, and you allow it to grow. And now it's there. But let me tell you, you better embarrass sin or it will embarrass you. Think about it. Think about somebody that you know who got into something you never thought they would get into. And they got caught up. I mean, we've heard of ministers who were married and got caught up into relationships with other people. Mm-hmm. It just didn't start overnight. It began to build.
It just came to me.
And now what has happened is they got caught, and now it's in the media, and it's embarrassing them.
Right.
But see, if they would have embarrassed sin when it first became a if they would have embarrassed sin with the word of God and said, it is written, if they would have embarrassed by studying the word of God and drawing to God, then their life would have turned out differently. Get radical about dealing with sin in your life. Expose it. Mm-hmm. Expose it. Even though God knows mm-hmm. it's there, expose it to God. Mm-hmm. Confess it. Own up to it. Mm-hmm. Because you've been building it up for so long. Oh, and it's not going to be easy. You think that demon want to let go? No, he doesn't. By the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus. That demon can be cast out. I used to say, we don't counsel demons. We cast them out. We don't counsel them. Mm-hmm. Make up in your mind that you're no longer going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, because it causes decay. It stinks. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't look good. Even though you think it feels good, it really doesn't. Because it causes dis-ease. There's no peace. There's no fullness of joy. Embarrass sin, or it will embarrass you. Just as Jesus did to the enemy when he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Embarrass him with the word of God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. For it is written, worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Stop serving flesh. Stop serving your flesh. Now, I'm not saying we all live a perfect life, because Jesus came and died for us, because we don't. But it is attainable in each and every day that we can walk in holiness and righteousness. And being with you. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
Yeah, I like to say that, you know.
With a seed.
I was going to say that it when you say embarrass sin before it embarrass you, and one way is to bring that sin to light. You know, shed some light on it. Expose it for what it is. You know, because a lot of sins like to keep you isolated, like to keep you in the dark, like to keep you bowed down, and make you fearful of exposing it, you know, and make you, you know, make you believe what are people going to say, what are people going to think, you know, and so you continue to wallow in it and be committed to it. Out of fear, not all sins, but you know, some. This could be the case for a lot of sins, you know. So you have to, or we have to. I have to. We all have to shed light upon this sin to expose it, to get it out of darkness and expose it. And that's how you. That's one way of how you can embarrass it, and it's one way of how you can. The Lord can help you get delivered of it, you know. And you know, when I was out there in the world, you know, I smoked and I drank, and I wasn't an alcoholic, but I drank, you know, sociably, you know, and then when I got reclaimed, you know, I just told the enemy, I'm not doing this anymore. I exposed the enemy, you know, and I asked the Holy Ghost to help me get delivered from this. And it was, I would have thought it would have been harder than it was. But for me, and this is not true for everybody, but for me, it was easy. I took my cigarettes that I just threw them away. Any alcohol, because I didn't keep any alcohol in the house really, but just because I know, see, those things were gateway sins for me, especially alcohol. You know, that was a gateway. So that just opened up for other things to happen. You know. And so I knew I had to nip that in the bud through the power of the Holy Ghost, because I knew I couldn't do it on my own, and it would be a forever losing battle. And so I didn't. And so, you know, so we have to expose it. We have to shed light upon it, because sin don't like light. It likes being in the dark. It likes to keep us in the dark, you know. Because we can't see what's going on in the dark. But it's a manipulative thing to be controlled in the dark, you know. So we just have to shed light on whatever the sin is.
Amen. Evangelist, did you have something? So I just, you there? I just want to reiterate our three points. Can't bargain with sin, because sin is never satisfied.
Yep, that's good.
Man. Amen.
I'm sorry. Hello. I thought my was talking. Hello. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was, you called my name. I was talking. I was on mute. You started, you made us, you said something about it starts as a seed. When the seed is planted, it's in the dark. And that's how sin start off. Then you start getting covered. Then it starts to grow. Then it starts, you don't mind, you know, shedding a little, it comes up through the ground. Then it comes up, and then it's exposed. But in the exposure, you still think it's okay, but it's getting bigger and bigger. And that's how sin, like you said, sin started to seed, but then it starts to grow and grow. Now you think it's okay. Now you get comfortable with it.
Right.
Okay, nip it in the bud soon before it even starts getting big. When it starts as a seed, when it starts as a seed in your head, if the thought comes to your mind, start pulling it down before it becomes reality. The devil can't touch a thought. You could pull those thoughts. You can bring those thoughts, your thoughts under captivity, quicker than you can an actual sin itself. So catch it as it's in your mind. Don't even entertain it, even in your mind. If women is your thing, if my husband had a habit of poking me, baby, look. And I had to stop him from doing that. You know, this was years ago, you guys. It was years ago. But he had to doing that. But it was okay. I didn't mind. But it starts with just a thought. Now I'm thinking, Dax, you do got a big booty. Now we're talking about somebody's butt. Me and my husband.
Hold on, baby.
No, it was just, I'm talking about years ago. I'm just saying how a thought can go from one thing to another. You have to bring it under captivity, even if it's a thought. Nip it in the bud before, you know, it goes any further than what it is. We put our own self out there.
Does anyone else have anything to say?
Hey, man, I wanted to say one thing.
Oh, go ahead, Rabbi. Y'all disregard what my wife will say. I don't know what she's talking about, but
yeah, right. Okay.
Jesus gave us a great illustration of when we're vulnerable. As far as him being hungry after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, you know, he's vulnerable, or we're vulnerable. So the devil knows, anybody can contest this if you want, but the devil knows when we're vulnerable. When we're upset, that's a vulnerability. When we're jealous, that's a vulnerability. When we're envious of others, that's a vulnerability. When we're not as Jesus, we're vulnerable. He knows when to step in and give us a thought. As my wife was saying, Evangelist Staten was saying, a seed can be planted in our vulnerable state. So we have to be careful of our mindsets each day as we go through the situations of the day. We have to be careful of our mindset, because it could put us in a vulnerable state where there's an entrance that we create because of how we're thinking and what we're saying. So we have to be careful as we live day by day that God gives us breath each day. So we have to just be careful. So Jesus, who is the Word, by the way, spoke the Word to the devil. And the devil knew the Word. He knows the Word. So we have to be careful. And he proved, even talking to Jesus and what he offered Jesus at that time, that he's the prince of this world, which he is right now, the prince of this world. That's why he was able to offer Jesus kingdoms. And his last comment was, if you would just bow to me, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus spoke the word against it. So we have to be careful of who we're dealing with, because just as we believe Jesus is real, the devil is real.
That's
and
right.
A lot of us, you know, we play with the devil. But guess what? He's not playing.
That's right.
And if he is playing, he's playing for keeps. So we
That's
have
right.
to be careful. We have to be careful. So the first step in trying to do better and be better is our mindset. What we put in our mind to do, then we ask God's strength to do that. But it has to be in our mind first. We can't say, well, God, deliver me from this or that, and then not be planning in our mind to do it first. So we have the self-will power. We're created in God's image, that we can will away what's not like him. But great teachings, great subject, great scriptures.
Elder Oliver, I think you wanted to say something.
Well, everyone has summed it all up. Again, I got beat up again tonight. We talked about it yesterday in gluttony. It just seemed like it just won't stop. And I just use as illustration, you know, played away sometime. And a lot of times we make up in our heads that don't no one see what we're doing, and we justify it. And just like Evangelist Brulette was talking about going to the buffet and putting cookies in your purse or your pocket. Well, I wouldn't go in there. I didn't need a purse, because I would take a whole steak home and put it away and take it home. That's my kryptonite. And we talked about it last night. I was craving a cheesecake. I go buy a cheesecake, eat it in the car, and come home and act like I ain't done nothing. You know, I'm good, you know. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. And then you have to watch, and this is the key, you have to surround yourself with people who's going to eat healthy. Because if you surround yourself with people who's going to give you that junk, you can pray about it all you want. You're still going to partake in it because you're weak in that area. And just as today was calling me today, this morning, a lot of phone calls, people want to go out to eat. Just by me saying yesterday, I have an issue because I can eat. And instead of getting a cheesecake, I go to McDonald's and just buy all these apple pies and just eat them up and throw it away. And don't no one see it, but the God sees it. and we justify it because we got to eat three meals a day. But if you're eating the wrong meals and you're around the wrong people, you still sinning. I mean, it really doesn't make a difference. And you could be around people who, you know, I'm in a church. So I'm around a lot of church people who like to go eat, and we still sinning. Now, they may not be sinning. They just may be their one meal. But I know me. They don't know it. And we got to be careful. And we can use gluttony and any other sin we can put in there because it would take us straight to hell if we don't. And if we don't surround ourselves, if we're not strong enough to fight that temptation one-on-one, we got to surround ourselves with the right people who's going to eat right. Like my wife liked to make them cucumber sandwiches. And she know I'm running from the truth. I'm running from that. And if I'm running from it and I'm running into something else, I'm hurting myself. So you got to just make sure you surround yourself with the right people. It was a great teaching, a great lesson, and I'm going to try to stay away from them buffets. Even though they don't have them no more, I'm praying that they come back.
Don't come back, buffet. Don't come back.
And I missed you guys last night, Elder. I didn't even, you know, hear you guys on D and K. So,
yeah, well, that's what we was talking about. We was talking about that. I got myself in trouble.
So I'm just gonna end it out just by the 3 points that we made was you can't bargain with sin because sin is never satisfied. Bringing the flesh under subjection. And embarrass sin, or sin will embarrass you. I just want to encourage all of our listeners on tonight that if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, that if you don't know Him in the pardon of your sin, you can be victorious with Christ Jesus. And all you have to do is believe that He is the Son of the living God, that He died for your sins. And you can pray this prayer with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. I thank You that He came and He lived for me. I thank You that He died upon the cross and that He rose again and that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. I believe that He is the Son of God. Jesus, I ask You into my life. Holy Spirit, I pray that You drive out all the darkness and replace it with Your light. Teach me in Your word, God. Teach me to walk in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Give me revelation of Your word. As I read it, give me understanding. I thank You and I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. And if you have prayed that prayer and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, begin to read Your word. Begin to meditate on the word of God. Begin to study the word. Pray. Find you somebody. Call the church. Call the church phone number and tell them that you received Jesus as your Savior. Begin with the book of John. It talks about the life of Jesus. Just begin to read. Try to read a scripture a day if you can to become familiar with the word of God because the word is what's going to help. And I thank you on tonight for joining us. Elder Taylor, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
All right. Boy, I tell you, these Tuesday night Bible studies just keep getting better and better every week. You know, it's like we're sitting around in the living room just having a discussion. And thank everybody for their input tonight. And you can't bargain with sin because sin is never satisfied. I said, I had to preach right there. I might have to use that myself. You can't bargain with sin because it's never satisfied. And that is such a true, true statement. And again, we just hope that somebody somewhere that's listening tonight got something from the word or got something from one of the panel members that may have said something that may have pricked your heart, you know, and your mind to know that I have to do something different. And so we just pray and we thank everybody again on behalf of Pastor Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, of Praise Tabernacle Church. I'm your host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor, and we just want to thank the panel members again, Elder Victor Blewett, Evangelist Ricky Blewett, Elder Oliver, and our speaker tonight, Evangelist Dove Stanton, for being so obedient to God and just hearing from God. And we just want to just thank everybody. And we pray that you'll be well in the upcoming week, the rest of this week. And just tune back in with us on Thursday nights. As Thursday night is Bishop Omar Zachary and family. And also tune in again with us for next Tuesday, Praise Tabernacle Tuesday night Bible study. And on Monday at 7 p.m., D&K Bible Break, you know, with our own Derek Oliver and his wife, Keisha. So we just want to just want everybody to tune in as much as you can for Praise Tabernacle Church. And maybe you can just get something and continue to strive and to push forward in the things of God and the calling up on your life. And I think that Vanda Stanton said it all with her prayer, you know. So we're going to end it with our biblical scripture that we like to use at Praise Tabernacle Church. It'll be Matthew 28:19-20. And it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Be blessed on behalf of Praise Tabernacle Church. We love everyone that's tuned in and listen. Have a great rest of the week. Amen.